I want us to read this morning from Romans chapter 3 and from verse 9 to verse 28. Romans chapter 3 from verse 9 to verse 28. I want us to take our time reading through this passage because it can be quite difficult to kind of get the argument and the flow and just try and grasp what it's saying. A kind of introduction to it. Paul has been trying to get the Jews that he's writing to understand that everyone needs Christ and everyone needs faith in Christ. And so he's going in this long circuit of a journey and an argument to get to his conclusion. And it's this conclusion that we come across at the end of chapter 3 that sparked the Protestant Reformation. Let's hear it then. Well then, should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? No, not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. For here is what the scriptures of the Old Testament say. No one is righteous, not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follows them. They don't know where to find peace. They have no fear of God at all. Obviously, the law, that is the Torah, the Jewish law, applies to those to whom it was given, for its purpose is to keep people from having excuses and to show that the entire world is guilty before God. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. For he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness. For he himself is fair and just, and he makes sinners right in his sight, when we believe in Jesus. Can we boast then that we have done anything to be accepted by God? No! Because our acquittal is not based on obeying the law. It is based on faith. So we are made right with God through faith, not obeying the law. I want you to try for a few moments, and I don't want this to be long, but I want you to try for a few moments to imagine that you're in a court and you're listening to evidence being presented. The person who is leading the evidence for the prosecution has never lost a case, ever. For the person that's leading the prosecution is the law of God. What you're having to do is you're having to weigh the evidence against the law. And what the law says is, in order to be right with God, you need to get it 100% right. And then the prosecution turns towards the sinner in the dock and says, "And did you? Have you? Can you demonstrate a perfect life?" And the weight of evidence stands against completely every single person who stands in that box. Everyone. never been in church, the law of God finds us guilty of sin. And sin is our great problem. This is what Paul's arguing. And it's not just a problem to us and to the world, it's a problem to the person that it ultimately matters to. And that's God himself. It's a problem to God. You might say, well, you know, it doesn't really matter. And we might think it doesn't matter, but God says it matters to me. And I'm the one that you've got to account to at the end of the day. And here's what he says. No one, he said, is good. Not one. Not one. No one has a real understanding of what is right and true. No one is seeking God. Be honest with yourself. Do you really seek God in all of your decisions, in all of your deliberations? Does what he thinks really matter to you 100% of the time? All, he said, have turned away from God. That's what we do by nature. We've all got it wrong. No one does good. Right, well, that's the end of the sermon for today. What he says is, it's there. It's the evidence is there. Your mouth, your lips, your bitterness, your temper, your anger, your lack of peace, your lack of a fear of God. No excuse. We all fall short. We don't measure up. And so the question that has to be asked is there therefore any hope? And then verse 2, it's just glorious. It shines like a torch into a dark room. We can be right with God when we trust in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. That, my friends, is what this is all about. That's why we come, and that's why we have this remembrance. We're remembering that our greatest problem, that our most awesome problem, has a solution, and it's a solution that is a divine one. And because it's not a human solution, but a divine solution, then we can depend upon it absolutely. All sin, all fall short of the glory of God. But God loves all. God wants all to be forgiven. God wants, through Jesus Christ, all to experience and know the forgiveness of sins. Through faith in Jesus Christ, there is hope for all. He took away our sins. He was punished in our place. Therefore, the prosecution no longer has any case. That's the glory of it. The prosecutor, remember Les Miserables, right? The man who could only see things from the perspective of the law. The law stands there and the law insists on perfect compliance. And it stands and it accuses and accuses and accuses us. And then into that situation steps Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says to the law, you have no power any longer because I have died for these people. I have achieved forgiveness for these people. They have no case against them any longer. You're futile. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that absolutely marvelous? Isn't it huge when you think about it? That our accuser has no case
released and surrendered.
Because we turn and we look to Jesus Christ and we say, He and He alone is our Saviour. You know, Wanda and I were talking about religion on Friday night, and we were discussing the kind of the futility of religion. And you know, so much about religion is man-made ideas, concepts, and traditions. But when you step outside of that into the divine, you're stepping away from man's own ideas and you're stepping into the very heart of what it's all about. And the very heart of what it's all about is that God has come to undo everything that we've got wrong and to bring us hope and forgiveness and to assure us that it's permanent. And why is it permanent? Because it's from Him. And everything that's from Him is infinite and eternal and unchanging. His love, His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness. All of that is forever. And no human being can accuse us, and no law can accuse us anymore. And no religion matters. Because what matters is faith. It is by faith we are saved. Faith in what? Not in what? In who? Faith in Christ. That's why we come to this table. To remember that. To have it imprinted on our minds. So that it's clear as day. Only Christ. Only ever Christ. Let us pray. Some of us here today are carrying burdens. Perhaps we are having to think about an operation that looms large in the future. We're feeling nervous and uptight. We pray, Lord, that for all who are facing either a difficult time or a difficult situation, that you would bring your peace, which passes all human understanding. We remember those, Lord, some among us today, who are grieving a loss that can never be replaced. Bring your comfort, a deep sense of your presence, and hope beyond measure to our souls. Lord, we're coming to a major decision in our country's life. We're so sorry, Lord, for the angry words that have been spoken, the way in which people have been fighting one another over these issues. We ask, Lord, that you would guide and direct our country aright. And after Thursday, that there would be reconciliation and peace between us. For whatever the result, that we would rebuild this nation. Heavenly Father, we pray for our country's spiritual needs. Lord, we need Jesus. We need faith. We need hope. We think of those around us who are without these things. We ask, Lord, that you would make our faith stand out as a living testimony to those who need faith. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us so much. Help us to give back all that we can. To be restless in order that we achieve and accomplish the ends of your kingdom. To bring comfort to those who need it most. To put food on the table of those who have got none. To reach out to those who feel that they are without hope. To be living testimonies to Christ in our world. We have celebrated communion. We have remembered all that you have done for us. Help us to give our all back. Gracious Father, bless this church as it looks forward, as we seek to bring a youth and family worker into the life of our church. Help us in our search that we might find the right person. As we seek to plan for the future, for another generation in and through this church, give us wisdom. Help us, Lord, to look forward with faith, with vision, and an unstinting sense of your presence. Bless each one of us now, for we ask this in Christ's name. Having tasted the goodness of our Lord, go forward into this world and be good and do good for it. And may the grace and the mercy and the love and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with and remain with each one of us, both this day and forevermore. Amen.